Hey y'all, this is Randy on the Black Women Marriage Podcast. I am the shorter half, as Mikey would say. This is BMM Indie number 68, My Log Journey. As you know, we are dropping two episodes a week, one on Sunday. This time y'all got it on Tuesday, and once on Wednesday. And it's Wednesday, and it's my go. So before I get into the episode, I'd like to thank everybody for their feedback, especially about my last indie, the girlfriends and things. I actually should have had some of the feedback prep, but please know that I saw all of it and I receive all the positive feedback, and I really appreciate people listening to that one and loving it, or just finding it helpful, because it was very helpful for me to do it for myself. I really needed to do the episode. And so, yeah. So thank you for your feedback. Please continue to send questions for us for the Q&A segment. And, you know, feel free to leave a voicemail at 770-750-4098 or send an email at blackmailmare@gmail.com, blackmailmare at gmail, with any feedback or questions you'd like for us to answer on our individual episodes on Wednesdays. Thank you again. All right, let's get into it.
Yeah. I'm sweating. Yeah. In 2010, thought I was doing something. And now I'm rapping with a crew or something. I guess the track don't really stick unless he's gluing something. And I never fit the shoe until I do or something. Yo, bracing myself like teeth, boy, it's the same old route on some new concrete. But homie, these tunes make you get a new ID. I'm trying to do my thing, but the commute ain't cheap. I'm on a 2-day week for all this rap these days. And we can still pitch the track to all the whack DJs. We're singing happy days, wearing tacky J's. And I'm just pumped that I made it out my nappy phase. Let's go. We can turn the whole world around. I'm in the backseat.
And I'm back, so I'm going to make sure that I'm loud enough, or, you know, that I obviously fix the sound, but everybody's sleep. I think Drew has been working with the fever, as many of you know, at least Patreon definitely knows. And I know I put something out there for the public on our joint page, but yeah, she's had a fever for the past 2 days, went to the doctor, they prescribed some things, trying to figure out if it's an infection, all this stuff. So we want to keep this baby asleep, let her rest up. But anyway, So I'm doing this episode about my log journey, and I'm going to do my best to not obviously make it boring, but I wanted to come back from my last indie with something light and fun. And that's mainly because, one, I just think that that's necessary. And I also had a close friend from college come and visit us, and she was my first friend in college. And she's the one that needs the help and needs the fixing. But this time she's all rejuvenated and rested and knowing her limits and holding herself accountable and looking at me like, what are you doing? And she got on me about always being too deep for the intro. And so just always being really intense and, you know, I haven't really had a lot of fun lately, and just not being the light person that I can be, the lighthearted person that I can be. Everything always got to be deep. And so I didn't want to have too many deep episodes back to back to back. So, you know, maybe you will find this as deep. But anyway, I actually also plan to write something about the conversation that I had with her on Patreon. Patreon, I know I brought this up in the last post I wrote, but that is coming. But y'all know there's a lot going on. Fingers crossed. So anyway, like I said, I want to come back more lighthearted and to talk about my log journey. And not only for that reason, but because people have really asked me to do this. And at first I thought it was a really strange idea, but then I remember that I am one of those people that follow 50 million YouTube channels about locking hair, especially when I first started my lock journey. I stayed on YouTube. And when I mean like stayed on YouTube, I mean for the first like 4 or 5 years of having my locks. And I follow people like TBA82, Bronze Goddess, Jasmine, I can't remember her last name. She just got married maybe like a year ago. The other girl with the big eyes, she's real pretty. She's always coloring her hair. And like Miss Island Spice, I think that's her name. But I followed these women for a long time, watching their lock journeys to help me with my hair, because when I first started my hair journey, I was the only one in my family with locks. So I had to figure out what to do with my hair, and YouTube was the best place to do that. So I am one of those people that follow people's journeys and want to know their thought process and how they're taking care of their hair and all that stuff. And so then I was like, well, maybe it's not so strange that people want to hear about my personal lock journey. But I do have a way, like I'm trying to frame it so that it's not boring. So to begin, why I locked my hair. So I locked my hair because of breakage, first and foremost. I brought this up in my indie episode about girlfriends, but that experience with that former friend lifting my hair and like exposing how broken it was part of the catalyst of why I was like, you know what? I'm over this bald head shit. Like, I'm done. And so I really wanted my hair locked. My mom actually went natural shortly after her divorce, and she has this really great curl pattern, and it's stringy. I don't know what curl pattern. Is it 4C? 4A? It's like what people consider good hair, in quotes. But we didn't know her hair looked like that. You know, she had a perm for so long, all my life. And so, beautiful curl pattern, and her hair was growing, and she's super, super tender-headed. And she would like have me twist her hair and stuff, and so anyway, I was like, okay, I want my hair to grow like my mama's hair. Like, my mama has long hair, long natural hair. And she was like, absolutely not. Because she knew the type of work being in loose natural took. And she was like, I'm not about to do that. She's done our hair. She braided our hair. I learned how to braid from her and my cousin. And she was like, I'm not dealing with loose natural hair. I'm not dealing with two sets of hair that is natural. And so she insisted that I keep my perm and that I can make this decision when I go off to college, and that's my business, and she's not doing it. But I decided to eventually do it because of breakage. I'm jumping all over the place. Anyway, I'm also very tender-headed, y'all. Like, I hated getting my hair done braided. I love the styles. Because my mom, y'all, she used to keep us. We were like, she has these real crazy styles she used to do in our head that had no rhyme or reason, and they were like great. And she just braided so well, and the end result was great, but I hated the process. She also didn't really know how to do our hair, not in terms of like braiding it, but you know, my mom used a comb a lot. And now that I have a daughter, I only use a comb in Drew's head when I'm shampooing her hair and combing it. I do not touch her hair with a comb. I use only a detangling brush and lots of water. And I feel like a lot of parents make that mistake, and I'm learning that it's not supposed to hurt to get your hair done. And if it is hurting, that means you're missing something. Like, there's something that you're not doing right. And so my hair used to hurt all the time because Drew just sits there and let me do her hair. Now, she's also probably not as tender-headed, but I do think it's also because I'm learning how to deal with her curl pattern. And I don't think my mom, and she's brought this up, she wasn't really aware of how to do our hair, how to take care of it in that sense. And now that she's older and has natural hair, she realizes she should have probably never put a comb in our head when our hair was dry. So anyway, I was tired of being in pain. So I wanted to get my hair locked, and now I didn't want to have to deal with it. I hated my perm. My mom actually stopped doing our hair at a certain point. And when she stopped doing our hair and gave us responsibility over it, it all broke off, as I've mentioned before. And we just couldn't keep up with it. We just weren't as diligent. I don't know. I just didn't know how to do my hair. I didn't know how to keep up with a perm hair. I didn't know how to take care of it. And so it broke, and it never grew past a certain point. But when she kept it up, my hair was really long. And if I can find that picture of my hair being really long with my perm, I will. And I'll probably use it for this image, for this picture, for this episode, but I really doubt that I have it somewhere. But anyway, so yeah, so those are the reasons why I locked my hair. And I actually convinced my mom to actually let me get my hair locked, even though she was very adamant about me not locking my hair, not going natural while I was still in her house, simply by letting her forget that I needed a perm. She was really busy. She's a single mom. She has two other kids. And so I just walked around looking crazy and never mentioned that I needed a perm. And I know that may sound crazy, but when you are a single mom, you got other shit to do, and you got a full-time job and all these other kids and life, it's very easy to forget that your child needs a perm unless she tells you. And so I literally didn't say a word. And it got so bad, it was like, this is awful. We have to cut your hair. And I was like, I completely agree. It was trifling, but I was like, look, I don't want to get another perm. And so I got my hair cut, the rest of my perm cut out, and all my nappy hair. And I only chose that place simply because Chris Rock did that. Was it Chris Rock? I think it was. Chris Rock did that documentary about black hair. And he featured all my nappy hair that's in Atlanta, here in Atlanta. And I think they're still open, but he featured them in his documentary. And I only saw that clip and I was like, all right, that's where I'm going. And that's where I went. And she cut my perm out because I thought I had got it all out. And she was like, yeah, nah, your hair won't lock if it's not really truly cut out, if your perm's not really cut out. So she cut it some more and it devastated me because I was about to graduate from high school in 3 days. And I just knew I was about to be the laughingstock of the town. And, but I had made a decision. My mom was like, well, suck it up, buttercup. So she cut my hair lower and coiled it. So I started my locks with coils and not two strand twists. And that was in May of 2010. I really want to say it was May 23rd, 2010, 3 days before graduation. And I honestly probably should have waited until after graduation because when I walked across the stage, no one knew that it was me walking across the stage, like no one in my family, because my hair was so short and my graduation cap came over my face that, and it was so loud. So when they called my name, no one heard them. And when I walked across the stage, no one saw me until they had called the next name. And it was so, I felt so bad. Then my aunt was like, I'm sorry, we didn't know it was you. Your hair is so short. It was a hot mess. But yeah, so that's all the reasons why I locked my hair and how I actually started that. So I maintained it in college by watching YouTube channels, like I mentioned. And yeah, that's just really it. It took a while for my hair to lock. As people with locks know, it takes a while. For about 8 months, people were still trying to figure out what I was doing. They were like, are you locking your hair? Are these twists? And then, yeah, and then I came back from winter break and my hair was locked and no one asked any questions. So it took a while for it to actually fully lock. Yeah, so anybody going through it, I feel you. It does take a minute. It's not you. You're not doing nothing wrong. It's your hair. It's just your hair got to be trained. Okay, and so benefits of locks. And so I think I have a few benefits. So one, an obvious benefit, I think, is ease. It's just an easier hairstyle, in my opinion. I was loose natural for a few days, and I was like, I ain't about that life. I've had a perm. I've had braids with weave and without. And I think that locks are just easier. They're just easier. Actually, a former friend used to be like, locks was like the lazy man's hairstyle. And it's true. Like, if you don't take care of your hair, you just can't be bothered. Locks is probably the way to go. But obviously maintenance and health and keeping it moisturized takes work. And so that's when it stops being the lazy man's hairstyle, but it is very, I think much easier. Also, it provided me with intimate knowledge of my hair. I didn't know anything about my hair. I didn't know anything about myself. And I believe that locking my hair gave me that intimate knowledge and gave me control over my hair. And there are a lot of people who believe that locks carry energy. That's why some people keep them covered. I think, you know, Sway keeps his hair covered, the celebrity Sway. I don't know if I've ever seen his whole head of locks, because he's all, you know, it's all about energy. And some people don't ever cut their locks because it's like you're cutting off memories. And that's real. Some of these things I agree with, especially after having locks for so long. However, I do cut my locks. I have cut them. But I think that it just taught me about, you know, taking care of myself. It just really did. And it wasn't something I anticipated. I really just wanted long hair. I had a vain reason for starting my locks. One of those reasons was vain. But as it grew and having to like watch it grow and to be patient, it really gave me confidence with short hair. Cause I don't know if I like necessarily have the face for short hair, but if you've had a perm and you cut your hair, you're gonna have to have a face with short hair, because your hair ain't just gonna grow overnight. And there are some people who do crochet locks where they put like weave in until their hair begins to lock and they take it out. And I'm not judging nobody. I get it. I get it. But I think that starting from scratch and watching your hair grow and being responsible for that growth, the old fashioned, slow and steady way is much more powerful and impactful. But, you know, that's just my opinion. I think it's just, it taught me a lot. Just having to be forced me to be present with my hair. Like, it probably is not that deep for everybody, but it really was that deep for me, especially because I was in college for the chunk of this journey, by myself, away from home. Mikey's not around, you know, unless he's visiting, new friends. It was a lot. So that I believe is one of the benefits of my locks. And I will always be grateful for the lessons that having to grow my locks on my own and being responsible for myself and getting to know myself through my hair. I will always be grateful for those lessons that it taught me about patience and confidence in that way. And some care tips. So, and y'all, if you have any more questions about locks, I did get like some questions about what I use to retwist. If there's something I'm not touching on, please let me know and I'll just try to touch on it my next indie. But anyway, some care tips. So back to one of the benefits where I talk about it teaches you patience and confidence, because you have to like wait for your hair to lock and for it to look like something. One of my care tips would be don't stress about growth or length. It's really like trying to watch water boil. Like, I would literally sit in front of a mirror for hours. I'm not exaggerating. Trying to stretch my hair, praying to God that if he just let one of my little locks come to my forehead, I would like always go to church. Like, I was 18, y'all. I was stupid, but I just want my hair to grow. And when you're in that new phase and that short phase, you're all about length. You stretching your hair, you're doing all this extra shit. But y'all, hair is coily, at least for black people. And no matter what your curl pattern is, you lock your hair, it's gonna shrink and then it's gonna fall down, you know, in growth. So I wouldn't even stress about the growth, because it's just gonna be a waste of time and stress doesn't help hair growth, and I just wouldn't do it. And once I stopped caring about how long my hair was getting and how quickly, I literally woke up with long hair. Like, I woke up and my hair was at my back. And I can't even tell you what year it happened. I just know I woke up and my hair was too long and I was cutting it. So it will grow. My second care tip is apple cider vinegar rinses are your life. And so are bentonite clay rinses. And so those are two separate things. Apple cider vinegar is when you put apple cider vinegar in a spray bottle with some water. Shake it up, spray your hair, let it sit for however long you want. I've let my hair sit with that stuff in it for hours, for 10 minutes, for 5 minutes, for 30 minutes. Then I go in the shower and I wash it out and then I shampoo it. And so I think it's a really great pre-poo and it's a really great way to get crap out your hair. Because if you are like me, sometimes you go a while without washing your hair. You don't mean to, but shit happens. Life happens. And who got time for wash days? Because even though you have locks, wash days are a lot. Especially the longer your hair gets. Because at one point I had to separate my hair in fours. I couldn't just wash it all in one lump sum. I had to wash it in sections. Like Loose Naturals have to do. And I was like, this is stupid. But it's really great. Apple cider vinegar is really great for getting the gunk out. I love apple cider vinegar rinses. I used to do them really faithfully once a week, but now I do them like once a month, every few months. Bentonite clay is also really great. I don't use it so much anymore because I stopped using it. The last time I really did a real bentonite clay rinse was in 2013. Bentonite clay is great for your face and it is safe for your hair. But I only stopped using it because, I don't know, my curl changed and I felt like it was leaving back some residue. But honestly, I don't even know if that's the truth, because I did a bentonite clay rinse when I came back from Ghana. That's all I did. I didn't do any shampoo. That's all I did. And my hair was so clean. And I didn't have to wash my hair for like another 2-3 weeks. So anyway, I do like bentonite clay rinses. I think that if you're just starting off with your locks and they finally reach that stage where they've locked, that you should definitely do them. It adds shine, a bounce, it's detoxing for your hair. You do bentonite clay, apple cider vinegar, honey. You can like mix it up. There are a whole bunch of like recipes on YouTube, and it's cheap. It's inexpensive. I don't think bentonite clay is a super expensive product. But yes, I would, if my care tips is to commit to an apple cider vinegar rinse regimen and or a bentonite clay regimen. Now, I have done the apple cider vinegar and baking soda rinses. I don't really much care for those. That definitely leaves buildup back in my hair. I can sit under the shower for, and I've done this. I've like gotten out the shower, taken a shower. I've been in the shower for a while trying to get that crap out my hair. Because it does pull all your gunk to the front. And if it's a lot, and locks do hold stuff, even if you wash it every day, every week, if you are on time with it and you do apple cider vinegars, it just collects dust. It collects energy. It collects dirt. Like it's locked hair. So it's like deep down it got dirt in it. So doing those apple cider vinegar baking soda rinses, maybe I don't do the ratio right, but they're not my favorite. Another care tip I have is hot oil treatments, y'all. Please, and this is for loose naturals too. And if you're a loose natural, you probably already know this, but hot oil treatments are your best friends, as well as bentonite clay and apple cider vinegar rinses. They're all friends, and we should all be friends with each other. Hot oil treatments are great. Sometimes I do like a mixture of stuff. So I've done black castor oil, Jamaican black castor oil with olive oil and just yummy oils, just oils that just make your hair and your body glow. But what I really like to use right now is Allocate Naturals Essential Vitamin Oil, I think is what it's called. Now, I followed her for a very long time. I followed her when Allocate Naturals was just like three products, the shea butter, the bentonite clay, and the black soap. That's all she was selling. And then she started doing hair stuff. And I follow her for a long time, Black Onyx. Her name is Rochelle. She's on Instagram. She's great. She's on YouTube. I follow her for a long time. Actually, before I went to college, I bought some of her products for my hair. I think it was a lemongrass leave-in conditioner and the black soap and shea butter for my body. And she like called me to make sure I got the package. Great customer service. Very like kind and sweet. And so I follow her for a long time, and I loved her essential hair growth oil. I think it really does grow your hair, and it is very moisturizing, and it is great for a hot oil treatment. And I think that you should do one if you have locks. And also, satin scarves are your best friends. Now, y'all, I used to be really great about wearing my satin scarf. I never missed a night. But, you know, I got older, my hair got longer, my hair got trained, and I stopped doing it so much. But since I've had y'all's baby, my hair is different. And so it dries out quicker, and it doesn't retain moisture like it used to. And so I'm back to wearing my scarves a little bit more religiously, especially when I'm wearing curls. And so satin scarves are like, just do it. Just wrap your hair. Wrap your hair and just do it. Get a few, because when you forget where you put it and you need to wrap your hair, just do it. And also, my last care tip is get on YouTube. YouTube is a really great source. I didn't realize how many people don't use YouTube when they do anything, but I get on YouTube for everything. I get on YouTube to figure out Excel stuff. I get on YouTube for podcast stuff, hair stuff, makeup. Just, it's great. And if you're just starting your locks or just wanting to like revive your locks and see if there's anything else out there that you can do, I really recommend YouTube. And I'm actually about to start using it for my hair as well. Because I'm sure there are some new products out there that I can be trying. And speaking of products, what I use right now, and I've mentioned my locking gel before in the last indie episode or two indies ago, but I use the Queen Helene Super Hold Pink Gel. It's like a number 7 in terms of hold. I use that for my hair to retwist, and only that. Right now, when I'm using a shampoo, sometimes I go between black soap. I love black soap. My hair loves black soap. But sometimes once you get to know your hair, you realize when it's time to do something different. That's random. That's not really my regimen. Right now, I'm using this other shampoo, the Onyx line, the ONYX. Their little shampoos look like eggs. I'm using that shampoo right now, the tea tree one. I like it. It cleans. It does what it's supposed to do. I put conditioner in there. I use the Onyx line conditioner, the tea tree conditioner. And then I do, I pair that with Allocate Naturals Deep Conditioner. And I like it. My hair stays moisturized. And that's really all I do. That is it. And sometimes I do a hot oil treatment if I know my hair really, really, really needs it. But yeah, that's what I do for my products. But in the beginning, I was using a lot more products. And I think that was necessary to get my hair to grow and to get used to like retaining moisture. And because I was living in cold ass Ohio for college and my hair just needed the tender love and care. So yeah. And finally, should you get your hair locked? If you're thinking about it and you're playing with the idea, my answer is yes. Y'all is hair. It will grow back. This is coming from somebody who didn't want short hair. But cut your hair off. Get your hair locked. If you change your mind, comb them out. It's possible. People do it all the time. Will I ever do it? I don't know. Let's never say never. I'd probably be more likely to cut my locks before I comb them out. It just takes too damn long. But it is possible. Get your hair long. Just do it. Just do it. He's thinking about growing his hair back, which I'm excited for because I miss his locks. Y'all, he had beautiful locks. He really did. But I also love his fade. Like I met him when he didn't have hair. So I've had him in all his alternates. And so, but I do think that if you're thinking about getting your hair locked, you should go ahead and do it. And I recommend getting it started at a shop. I know there are people who can do it by themselves. But I don't know. I think it's just good to have somebody else in your head looking at a different angle, getting your parts just right, and you sitting there being pampered and like letting them do it. And then for the rest of your life, you just do it yourself. I've only ever gotten my hair done a few other times, one for engagement photos, my graduation from college, wedding photos and wedding. And a few months ago when my mother-in-law gave me some money, because I guess she was tired of me walking around here looking crazy. So she was like, go get your hair done. But I've only ever gotten my hair, like I've probably got my hair done six times over the 10 years I've had my locks. And so you can do your hair by yourself if you have locks. But I do recommend going somewhere else to get them started. Even if it's your cousin that does really good hair. Mikey's cousin started his locks and his parts were great. Like they were great. So yeah, that's my recommendation. Okay, Q&A. All right, y'all. So this is one of our favorite parts. I love like the first part, but I also love answering questions. So I know y'all get it. So I have 4 questions that I'm going to answer. So someone asked, I'm pairing 2 questions together. So someone asked, Randy, first, I know you struggle with anxiety as well. Can you tell when you're letting it go too far? And I'm pairing this with another question that I got on Instagram from a current Patreon supporter because I felt like they were very similar. And she says, I have a question for you. My boyfriend and I have been together for a while and best friend for longer. I love him and really want to marry him. I've been going through a lot lately, like a new job, not starting school when I want it, and I've been going through stuff at home. I have really bad anxiety. My insecurities have been coming out a lot. My question for you was, how do I remind myself that he loves me, show him that I know, and remind myself that although I'm still going through a lot, I'm still deserving of his love? And so I'm pairing those 2 questions together because they both deal with anxiety and because it just seems to make sense to me. So one, yes, I do struggle with anxiety. I didn't really know that, honestly, until after our loss, the first baby. Like, I didn't really, like, my mom used to be like, Randy, you're really high strong. You're really type A. you gotta breathe. You can't control everything. But, like, one of the words for that lumps that all together is anxiety. But it wasn't until I took a test with my therapist and it came back as anxiety that I was like, whew. Now, it's not necessarily something I'm proud of, but I love that that it's something I could just put a name to. And because it now has a name and a treatment that's like very open and like flexible and things, that's just something that just makes me feel better. So how do I tell when I can let it, when I'm letting it go too far? So with my anxiety, I can always tell when I'm letting it go too far if I'm restless. You know, if I'm restless, I'm just worried for any reason. Now that I'm older and we've like been through so much, I've learned a lot about my anxiety. My therapist is also really great. She focused on cognitive behavior with me and distortions. And so a lot of my anxiety was is catalyzed by distorted thinking. And so when I can tell when I'm going too far, when I realize that I'm thinking in a distorted way. So one of those ways are almost always fortune telling, looking way ahead in the future and not being right here. It's like, I know enough to know that a lot can happen in a day, in an hour, in a week. And so fortune telling, so being cognizant, okay, Randy, what's causing anxiety? Are you thinking too far ahead? What is the issue? Also mind reading, constantly worrying what people are thinking. These are all distortions. And so being very, and she really, really, what's the word? She really focused on cognitive distortions with me in that first year of therapy. And that was really helpful. So that's how I can tell when I'm going too far. If I'm like, this is distorted thinking. And so that usually helps me, or at least it allows me to articulate to the person I'm talking to, which is 9 times out of 10, Mikey, or my gang. I have a mom's group, y'all, that I'm in. But when I'm like, okay, this is not actually rational, logical thinking. So that's how I can tell when I'm going too far. And that helps me let it go, because you can't trust distorted thinking, y'all, you know, and I know I can't trust my distorted thinking because it's just not true. And so when I realize the things I'm thinking are literally not true and can't be proven in terms of when I'm having like anxiety issues, that helps me. And it also helps me realize what's causing this anxiety. And so it's almost always not being in control. I have a control issue, and it's not as bad as it used to be, but you know, and Drew is really getting me out of there. Drew is like, I don't care nothing about your control issues at all. Kids really will shake you up. But yeah, so that's how I can tell. And I paired it with that question about that our Patreon supporter sent, because I think that's also an anxiety issue, as she pointed out. And so her question was, again, how do I remind myself that he loves me, show him that I know, and remind myself that although I'm going through a lot, I'm still deserving of his love. So initially when I saw that, I thought this is a new relationship. And then when she filled out the questionnaire about birthdays and anniversary, I realized it was a new relationship. And so I think that for women, unfortunately, it's mainly women. I don't really hear a lot of men have this issue, but that's also because a lot of men don't really talk. So I'm actually not informed in my what I'm saying. Based off my relationship with women, I can tell that this is a new relationship. And so when it concerns, and I say that to say that a lot of your concerns are very new concerns / normal in terms of people have them. And I feel like part of your anxiety is coming from this fear that you are being super crazy and annoying, or and that you feel alone. But your concern is something that a lot of new couples share and have and like experience, and women in new relationships experience. And so it sounds like it's also like a fear of losing him. I'm not sure why. Maybe you don't believe you are deserving of love or to be loved on. And that's a thing, you know, that's real, to not feel deserving. But reminding yourself that you are deserving, honestly, it's a process. I know that's not really like a clear answer, but what am I trying to say? For one, I'm just going to break your question down. My question for you was, how do I remind myself that he loves me? Honestly, just really, I'm not even being funny. Remind yourself. Remind yourself that he loves you. I used to have to do that in the beginning with Mikey, and I know he's talked about this as well. He's had to do that with me, especially when we have to confront each other about some bullshit, you know, about something that the other person has done, something that the other person has done to hurt your feelings or that was wrong. But you remind yourself that he loves you by simply reminding yourself. And I like to recall memories, those times that you have together that are just unmatched. You can't get them anywhere else. And they make really great stories, and they were real, and it was something like in a movie. And it was just, you just felt so great. And so that was one of the ways that I reminded myself that he loves me. That he loved me. And even now in our marriage, when we beefing, it's like, okay, this dude loved me. And I have like all these memories to call up on. And so I would really practice recall, positive recall, when it concerns reminding yourself that he loves you. And you show him that you know that he loves you by saying it. You know, we do a PDA segment on our podcast. And honestly, y'all, sometimes we're really big on on loving on each other, as y'all hear, but the PDA segment is our only time in our marriage where we have a dedicated time where we are only saying positive things to each other and showcasing that we see what the other is doing for us. And so I would maybe incorporate that in your relationship. You don't have to call it PDA, but you can just set an alarm. Y'all I used to have an alarm to set to be like, tell Mikey hey, or tell Mikey good morning. Because when I was a long distance, we were in college, I would be going in the beginning when I was a freshman, look down on my phone and be like, oh shit, I ain't even speak. Not to be malicious, just because I was just busy, you know, and you can't do that in a relationship. And so I think that a way that you can remind him that you know that he loves you is just having a dedicated time frame in the morning, or y'all sit together and have your PDA session and be like, I know you love me. This is how I know. And that really is helpful. And it's especially helpful for us when we've been arguing or something and we have to do PDA and you realize this person really does still like you, even though they ain't really fooling with you right now. That's always nice. And your last question is, how do I remind myself that although I'm going through a lot, I'm still deserving of his love? Whew, girl. Well, I think that there's a lot there. I think that you can do that simply by, one, I think there's something else you have to confront there. What about yourself doesn't think that you deserve his love/love? And once you figure that out, then you won't have to remind yourself that you're deserving of his love. There's something there. And there may be a separate DM message between us for us to, like, if you really want to talk about it. I think there's something else there. Maybe you're worried that the other shoe is going to drop, that even though y'all love each other, maybe you're worried that it won't last or something will happen. And that's a distortion, right? That's fortune telling, in a negative way. So, And your last one was, and also, how do I find myself apologizing to him a lot? And he says, I don't have to, but I feel obligated. That's something I'm also actively working on. I apologize a lot in general, and I'm constantly trying to not do that. So instead of saying sorry, I say thank you for your grace. Thank you for understanding. I don't know why women are taught to apologize so much. And it's gotten to a point where Mikey's like, nope. I'm not, he just stops the apology short, and that helps. So maybe even just have him hold you accountable just have him hold you accountable. Mikey just eventually picked up on it. I didn't ask him to do anything. He was just like, yeah, you know, you use sorry a lot. You're only supposed to use sorry when you're sorry. And if you overuse it, then like sorry kind of loses its, you know, its definition. It's the reason why you're actually saying it. And so he holds me accountable by like stopping me short. Nope. You don't have to apologize. This is stupid to apologize for it. There's nothing you could have done about this. I think that's also a therapy thing. And I'm not even being funny. And it sounds like a cognitive behavior/distortion thing. But y'all, I got issues myself. I am not the one to necessarily diagnose you. But I'm just saying that for me, for the problems that I've had, having a therapist that focuses on cognitive behavior and distortions and unlearning all of those have been really helpful. And so I recommend, I don't know, finding somebody to talk to that is trained to do that type of work. Because I found it very helpful for myself and for my relationship. All right, question number two. What are you watching? What shows are you watching on Netflix? And what's on your list to watch? I think this is Renee from Patreon who asked this question. I am currently watching Working Moms. I just finished the Bill Gates documentary and I loved it. And I love Bill Gates, y'all, because he sponsored this girl. He sponsored me, y'all. I went to college because of him. But I'm watching Working Moms. I'm on the third season, whatever the new season just dropped. And I stopped it because Jenny, the Asian woman on Working Moms, is really starting to bother me. She's really starting to bother me. And I'm just hoping. And my anxiety is just too much. I'm like, this girl is awful. Like, I just have so many problems with her. But I'm watching that currently. And what's on my list to watch? A few things. I love, oh my God, what is that show? Not that one. The one about I started season one and I finished season one. Me and Mikey both did. But it's about serial killers. And it's when they finally discovered, they went around and they went to interview serial killers. And that's how they developed the word serial killers. And so it's tracking like their conversations with Ted Bundy and that crazy dude that loves heels and like all that stuff. And so that's on my list. I don't have time to watch it, mainly because I have a child now. I don't want Drew watching that stuff. And so it's really hard to find time to watch TV with the baby. Watch TV that you want to watch. So that's on my list. What else is on my list? There's a few things on my list. I put Tall Girl on there because I'm trying to get into watching things and reading things that I wouldn't normally watch and read, because I'm realizing that I like that stuff once I finally watch it. Like, we saw Mary Poppins Returns for the first time this weekend. I loved it. So those are just a few things that are on my list. I have a whole bunch of documentaries, a whole bunch of true crime stuff that I love. And yeah. And the third question is, if you could be a member of any TV family, which would it be? I put Black Lightning. I haven't finished season one. I'm really way behind. But from what I have seen of season one, I really like that family. I really love those actors, especially the dad. I can't remember his actual name, but y'all know he was on Living Single and he was so fine. And him and Khadijah were the perfect couple, and I love them. Or I love him. And so I would be a part of their family. They have superheroes. They have superpowers. They're Black. They're beautiful. That's the family I want to be a part of. And the last question. Do you have any challenges with keeping real friends at your current stage of life? So my initial response last year or 2 years ago would have been yes. I do have challenges with keeping real friends at my current stage of life. But now my answer is no. I think that one thing that I definitely suffer from, and I don't even know why, I always thought I'd have a lot of friends. And then you realize when you get older, as I'm sure you know if you ask this question, this is from Instagram, JLAMAREV. And I don't think that it's challenging once I realize that I'm going to have to focus more on quality over quantity. Once I realized that I was going to have to focus on quality over quantity, I realized that it's not hard. I actually have people in my life that love me and that I consider friends. Now, do I see them often? No. There are definitely people from the podcast that I have developed love for and I consider my friends. And they aren't in Atlanta, but they are my friends. And so I think I had to reframe what friendship looked like for me to be able to make real friends. And I really had to /have to do the work to maintain the friends I do have and to grow those relationships. And so right now that's what I'm focused on. I'm focused on strengthening my relationships that I do have, people who've been around in my life forever, and doing that instead of trying to find new real friends. Because I feel like the new real friends will come if they're supposed to. But right now I'm about to nurture the ones that I actually do have. And so once I reframe what friendship looked like to me and all that, I realize I do have real friends. And so I don't find it challenging. Now, what is challenging is like holding myself accountable and doing that hard work. Cause it's really easy to be like, I don't have no friends, but I do. I could text more people and definitely call more people and get over the fact that they're not in Atlanta, you know, or some of them aren't in Atlanta. But yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. All right. Finally, I'll leave you with this. So I said I would always say what I'm reading in this segment. I'm just going to start doing this. Currently, I'm reading, for my fiction choice, is The Invisible Library. I forgot to put the author's name down, but I like it so far. It's a series, and it's about basically these investigators who have to go and find books, and they bring them back to the library, and this girl was sent out on a mission. The book that she needs is a grim fairy tale book, and it's really important for some reason. Someone's already stolen it. She's stuck in this alternate with her partner, and they're like trying to figure it out. And I really like it. It's more on the fantasy side, but I'm actually enjoying it. And the nonfiction book I'm reading is Emotional Intelligence, Why It Matters More Than IQ. And I like it. I'm only a chapter in, but I really want to strengthen my emotional intelligence muscles and work on my empathy. And emotional intelligence is where that starts. And so that's why I'm reading it. And so I'll leave you with this. I have some follow recommendations, y'all. So I'm back on Twitter. I'm really trying to do better on my Twitter. And there's a woman that came across my feed, and she is a therapist, and her name is Kelsey Leanne. It's KelseiLe, capital ANN. I'll link all of this in my show notes, but she is great. And she has all these threads about how to tell if you're emotionally intelligent, how to tell if your childhood trauma has convinced you of lies. And it's just these very quick therapeutic points that I find to be very encouraging. And I think everybody should go follow her. She's great. And on Instagram, I follow Tatiana Tarrant. And so I'll also link that. Her bio says she's a tarot and a caustic diviner slash teacher. She's a mother, and she's been on Bravo TV, VH1, a whole bunch of other things. I cannot remember how I found her. I think Narissa Irving brought her up, and then I found her that way. But I really like her. I love her tarot card readings. Now, y'all, I've never gotten my palm read. I've never gotten, sat through, a tarot card reading. But I find, and I know as Christians, some people who are Christian or just really religious are like, no, that's witchcraft, whatever. I think God is everywhere. And I just disagree. And I find her to be very inspiring and positive. And so her tarot card readings are really great. And they always seem timely. And I used to be, Macbeth scared me. I don't know if y'all remember that play from high school that we all had to read. But, he gets this prophecy from these witches and the question, and then he fulfills it. So it's like, did this prophecy come true? He fulfills it in a bad way, right? It was prophesized that he would become king and he would do all this horrible stuff, and he did. And he does it, and it's like, did he do it because the witches told him? Or did he do it because that really was his fate? And so I've always stayed away from readings and things because I don't want to know if I'm gonna die or if my husband's gonna die. I don't want to know about any of that, but I really like her because I feel like she takes away the fear that a lot of people have of being ignorant. People are ignorant about this type of stuff. And when you follow her, she's just very inspirational. It's just like, hey, I pulled this card today. Get your shit together. Make your money. I really like her. I think that if you're open and flexible to messages that God is sending you or the universe, then you should follow her. And also, lastly, I'll leave you with this, a podcast. So yeah, I'm really into true crime and weird, creepy stuff. And Mikey's just like, I don't know why you let this stuff touch your spirit. And it don't touch my spirit. It just really fascinates me. And so one of my favorite podcasts is My Favorite Murder. Now, there are people who don't like these two because they're nuts. They talk a lot before they get to the stories. But I love it all. I think if you really like a podcast, you'll deal with the banter. But there are some gems in their banter. A lot of documentaries that I found have been because they just talk a lot. I really like them. They have really great stories. They bring a lot of the things that have happened in this country and in this world, the crime. They bring it to the podcast and they tell you all about it. It's very informative, very well researched, and it's like watching true crime TV, but you're not. You're listening to it. So I recommend them. And that's what I'm going to leave you with. All right, y'all. Thank y'all for rocking with me with this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Like I said, it was a little bit lighter for me. And people have asked for it, and I don't want to discredit what people are asking for when it concerns indie episodes. So I'm not going to be like, oh, that's lame. I'm not going to do it. So I'm going to do it. And so thank you for everyone who suggested I do a Lock Journey episode. And thank you for everyone who submitted questions for me to answer. So speaking of that, submit questions again or feedback for the next solo episode. Email us at blackmailmir@gmail.com, blackmailmir@gmail.com, or leave us a voice message at 770-750-4098, and your voicemail could be featured on the next feature episode. Let me know what you think about this episode, y'all. Let me know what you think about this episode. I really appreciate it. Be sure to check out our website, www.blackmillennialmarriage.com. That will be getting an update sometime soon. Mikey's going to add it to his portfolio. I'm really excited for all the things he's going to do. But right now, it's not priority. So in the meantime, still go look at it because it's a great site. And lastly, follow us on social media platforms. On Instagram, Mikey is Mikey_XXI. And on Instagram, I am Randy, RANDIIIIEEE. On Twitter, we are _TheChapmans. And on my Twitter, I am @Randy, the same as my Instagram name, RANDIIIEEE. I'm really trying to get back over there. I'm going to eventually talk about why. And yeah, so anyway, I'm back on Twitter and I'm going to have reasons to why. But follow me if you're on Twitter and things. All right, y'all. If you're interested in extra musings and things that we do that are solo, we I do that every time. We do create content on Patreon where we both have our separate blogs and just in general things we do separately and together. And so that Patreon site is www.patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage. You can join our Patreon for as little as $3 a month. Thank y'all again for listening and tuning in if you made it this far. You a real MVP. As always, be blessed. Don't settle. Fight clean. Peace.
About time that I get back. Yo, I'ma get back. We can hold it down. Oh God, I'ma get back. Yo, I'ma get back. And we can hold it down.
Yeah, it's be the fourth year in the promised land. Watch it, I promise.